Hi, everyone. I'm Haley Griffiths, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and learning.
Welcome to episode number 76. I'm Brian Peters, and this week we have another jam-packed episode lined up for you. So much has happened on the social media front over the last few weeks. We're back, we're excited for 2018, and we're glad you're here with us on the podcast.
Super excited to be back, Brian. Felt like there was something missing over the break.
Yeah.
We hope everyone's year is off to a great start, and this should be a fun episode to get things going.
Let's kick things off.
So we thought we'd start with an interesting article that Matt Navarra shared on Twitter titled 21 Experts Talk About the Biggest Social Media Marketing Mistakes Businesses Make. We often talk about what you should be doing on social media, but I think it'll be useful to talk about what you maybe shouldn't be doing on social media, so kind of reverse engineering it in a way.
Love it. 2018 is going to look and feel so different on social media. We can all pretty much toss everything we think we know about how, when, and what to post right out the window. Now is the perfect time to freshen up those strategies. So I think one of the most interesting what not to do's from the article was from David over at Social Quant. It's that most businesses fail to realize social media is about creating and nurturing relationships. So instead of seeing individual people with their own unique needs and problems, businesses see numbers. They see X new followers, X referrals, or X leads. And when that perspective is perpetuated, when everyone's just a number, it becomes a numbers game, which has no long-term viability.
That's such a good one to think about. We often forget that behind every single stat is a single person or even potential customer. And I feel like the more we chase numbers, the further we get away from individual people. So in other words, we're creating content that is appealing to the biggest mass of people. Maybe 60 to 70% of those people like the content, but will never buy from us because they're just not a good fit.
Exactly. And I guess the question is, are businesses willing to recognize that? So is it better to reach 5 highly targeted people and build relationships or 15 semi-interested people that take twice the work to convert into customers?
I'm going to have to go with the 5 people.
Absolutely.
But I totally understand why businesses treat social as a numbers game. There's certainly a balance here. Another mistake that I thought was really on point was from Rachel French over at Clickworthy Copywriting. She said that the biggest mistake businesses make is focusing on the fun branding without having a solid brand foundation first. So not knowing your brand message, positioning, voice, or vibe. Many times entrepreneurs want to worry about a logo, a tagline, or a color palette because those are all really exciting. But then they're not worrying about who it's supposed to attract and what is the meaning behind the branding.
Yeah, I absolutely love this one as well, Haley. And great timing too. I was actually just chatting with Kate Harvey over at Chargeify yesterday about the struggles of gaining traction on social media. And one theme that kept coming up was that brands have to have their quote unquote thing. So thing being that why we always talk about. Why would people follow you on social media? What do you bring to the table? What is so unique about your brand that people want to tell their friends and family about your brand? So I guess, yeah, that thing.
Exactly. For example, at Buffer, I think our thing is transparency and remote work. What do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that's kind of the thing that we have, that we bring to the table.
Yeah. And these two things make us unique as a company. And then that theme, if you will, the remote transparency theme, can be found all across of our company, our communication, and our social media accounts. So businesses really need to find their thing if they want to be successful on social.
Next up, Mark Zuckerberg is back in the spotlight. And talk about a New Year's resolution. Quick background, Mark sets a personal challenge each year that he posts about all year long. For example, a few years ago, he set out to learn Mandarin. He also built a robot butler for his home. And last year, he toured America to spend time with regular citizens, a lot of those people who were Facebook, probably users, obviously. And this year, Zuckerberg's goal is to fix Facebook.
Well, that makes my New Year's resolutions feel a little bit small. I really want a robot butler for my home. But this is a really interesting one from Zuckerberg. He's essentially admitting to the world that Facebook is broken in a way. So here's how he puts it, quote, "The world feels anxious and divided, and Facebook has a lot of work to do. whether it's protecting our community from abuse and hate, defending against interference by nation states, or making sure that time spent on Facebook is well spent. End quote. And he has one more quote, and it says, "We currently make too many errors enforcing our policies and preventing misuse of our tools." So this feels huge from him and for Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe that Zuckerberg kind of admitted that Facebook is broken. And it's been sort of this thing, this ongoing thing. We won't go into it, but there have been so many different stories and allegations around Facebook over the last year or two. I think it's really awesome to see Zuck facing those head on. And some of the key things that Facebook, or one of the key things that Facebook will be focusing on, is putting power back into the hands of the people. So in other words, as he puts it, decentralizing the massive power that is Facebook and allowing people and businesses to have more control over everything. Everything meaning the news that they see, the posts they interact with, advertising, success on Facebook, and a lot more.
I think that last part will be super important. Zuckerberg openly admitted that Facebook controls a massive share of the global digital advertising market, which is making it difficult for smaller companies, including media companies, to survive. And that's something he's openly said he's taking into serious consideration in the coming year, which is good news for all of us. Well, we haven't talked about Twitter in a long time. But they recently started a program that we think is definitely worth mentioning. In November 2017, they launched a new initiative called Twitter Promote Mode. Promote Mode is what they call an always-on amplification engine. Basically, it automatically promotes your tweets and profile for a flat fee of $99 per month. There's no ad campaign management necessary. People and businesses using Promote Mode just tweet as they normally do.
You know, Haley, I was so excited to hear when Twitter launched this new feature. Being kind of deep in social media, I feel like it's such a genius idea. Creating campaigns and ads are so time consuming. I just want something to basically promote all of our tweets and, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn posts for us. So actually, interestingly enough, we got early access to this feature when it first came out and we got to try it for a full month. The TLDR, the too long didn't read, is that while it's a really great idea, I'm not quite sure that the execution of the program is fully there yet.
That's interesting. In looking at the data, the amount of people reached was great. We were reaching an additional 25 to 30,000 people per week. So if you calculate that out, it's only about a dollar to reach 300 people, which is comparable to our numbers on Facebook boosted posts. But in looking at engagement, it's nowhere near what we're seeing on other platforms. For example, over the course of 2 weeks with Twitter Promote Mode, it says we had more than 350,000 profile visits, but only 50 new followers.
Yeah, that was one we were looking at and kind of scratching our heads. Now, don't get me wrong. Our profile, you know, obviously could be poorly set up for converting visitors into followers, but 50 out of 350,000 is an incredibly low number. I think the other limitation is that it doesn't really give any data on the type of accounts they're promoting to or what the engagement level is. It's only reach, profile visits, and followers. Now, that being said, putting this in a positive light, Twitter is definitely onto something here, and I really admire the move from them. I honestly would not be shocked to see, you know, as they've done in the past, Facebook or LinkedIn roll out a similar kind of quote-unquote set it and forget it program. For, you know, a monthly fee of some sort. So round of applause, Jack Dorsey, for innovating in the world of advertising.
All right, two more quick pieces of fun and exciting news before you go this week. First is that Facebook now lists page posting frequency in search results. So you know when you're searching for a page or even just exploring new pages to follow, there is now a little indicator of how many times that page posts per day on average.
Yeah, I thought this was such a subtle but great move from Facebook. I think most importantly, though, is that, and I guess most interestingly, is that it kind of hints at the fact that Facebook cares about this number just as much as audiences do. So, you know, if you saw that a page posts five times per day, would you follow it? I don't think I would. And I think that posting frequency and quality content, the things that we talk about all the time, will be a huge factor in 2018.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this is great too, because some pages were posting way too much. Yeah. And this is like, This is just such a good incentive to tone it back mm-hmm. and focus on quality. So last but not least, and this one was great, Snapchat threw a huge New Year's Eve party this year for over 5,000 employees and guests in Los Angeles. Drake even performed. Whoa. And like, yeah. And the venue is reported to have cost more than $4 million. But the best part is that CEO Evan Spiegel blocked every guest from posting to Snapchat during the party. So tickets said no photos, and guests were also given silver bracelets with the words no photos. So what do we think happened? Naturally, guests ended up posting to Instagram instead.
You know, Haley, I saw this story and I just couldn't help but chuckle. But honestly, I gotta hand it to Spiegel here. That's such a bold move to block guests from using his own platform to post about the most epic party of the year. You know, and I read in an article that I guess his reasoning was that he just wanted everyone to enjoy the evening and live in the moment, which is so respectable. If that's really the reason, that's totally respectable, especially kind of in like this behind the camera world we live in. Just go into a party, enjoy it. No need to post to Snapchat. But
yeah,
obviously people are going to post, especially if Drake's performing, you know, everybody that's there. But I feel like it made people want to post more, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know, the cookies that you can't have. You want them more. Either way, though, this was publicity for Snapchat, something that they need right now. So I can't help but wonder if Evan had it planned all along.
Good point. If this is how 2018 is going to start on social media, then you know it's going to be an awesome year ahead. We can't wait to share it all here on The Science of Social Media.
As always, new year, but same way to connect. Feel free to reach out anytime using the hashtag BufferPodcast or shoot us an email to hello@buffer.com.
Finally, you won't want to miss next week's episode. We'll be answering the question, do third-party apps negatively affect reach and engagement on social media? Until then, everyone.